rules of the show are simple. No bad language. We don't allow bad language. It has no use here. Only one call per show. Beyond that, I want to thank Talos for the great sound. Before the lightning hits, Keith Rowland, my webmaster of 20 years, my producer, Heather Wade, the Bell Gap website. I've got a message for them tonight. They complained bitterly last night. Our guest to be last night was Andrew, Andy, he wants to be called a guest, Bishago, and he couldn't make it because his Skype was full of hum, and so we went to a backup number, and that turned out to be a cell phone. Then I said, well, how about something plugged into the wall, and said, yeah, I've got one of those with a, you know, portable thing, but it's dead, meaning no battery power, so we had no way to do so. The Bell Gap group complained bitterly, and just for them, this vaguely lovable group of lollygags, I'm going to grant your wish, and tomorrow night, Andrew, Andy, if you will be here. So there you have it, rescheduled already, and he will be on a landline. So there you go, Bell Gabbers. Your wish comes true. Stream guys who get the show to you, and LB.net who gets it to them, and our sales guy, Peter Eberhardt, and I mention this as frequently as I can, you really should contact him. We have so few commercials that, well, yours just stands out. The death toll, just a couple of items here, from the fiery explosions in China, as I knew it would, has now climbed 5,700 were injured. It was horrible, horrible. They still really don't know exactly what it was. Now, we talk about the air and the condition of the planet. You remember L.A. back when it was really smoggy? Well, it's nothing compared to China. In China, air pollution is killing 4,000 people a day, every day, 4,000 people a day. Can you imagine that? In one of the deadliest single attacks in post-war Baghdad, a truck bomb shattered a popular fruit and vegetable market in a teeming Shiite neighborhood, 67 dead, 150 wounded. From theanomalous.com, a lucky eyewitness in Illinois got the sighting of a lifetime during a thunderstorm. Maybe I better not read this. During a thunderstorm last month, when he managed to capture one of the most elusive phenomena to ever be studied. No, not a UFO. The flying object has been tentatively identified as ball lightning. Ball lightning ignores all natural rules. It ignores gravity. It ignores everything. It goes where it wants to go. It does what it wants to do. It's an interesting piece of land that I live in here in Pahrump, Nevada, South Nevada. We're about 6 miles from the California border. In fact, if you look at that picture, the blue circle up at artbell.com on the radar shot is exactly where I am. I am in that blue circle, at least for now. It's like a bad one. All right, so coming up in a moment is, and I have been sprinkling my studio, by the way, with holy water. Actually, not a little tap water here. Came out of a hole. Born and raised in San Diego, this amazing person coming up, Blanche Barton, graduated Phi Beta Kappa from Redlands College with a degree in journalism and literature. She met Anton LaVey. I guess you know who that is, right? Most of you? She met Anton LaVey the day after the previous high priestess left the Black House. Barton became LaVey's companion and mother of his only son. She became high priestess of the Church of Satan, holding this title until April 30th, 2002 when she assumed the role of chair mistress of the Council of Nine. Her biography of LaVey, The Secret Life of a Satanist, the authorized biography of Anton LaVey, was originally published in 1990, and an expanded edition is available now. Blanche also wrote The Church of Satan, A History of the World's Most Notorious Religion. All right. We're going to break here, and when we come back, Blanche will be here, unless the storm has moved in and erased me and the entire program. Anyway, take a look at the radar and give me an idea of exactly where I am or was.
Seeing what you wanted to see, darling, don't say a word, 'cause I already heard what your body's saying to mine. I'm not a fast moves, I'm not a slow move on my mind. I want a man with a slow hand. I want a lover with a easy touch.
I love talking about legends, and that CC Radio 2E is an absolute legend, in my opinion, as a matter of fact. This radio will let you hear radio stations that other radios don't even know exist. That's how good it is. The CC 2E is the best in AM, the best in FM, the best all around. It'll let you hear your favorite station with much more clarity. The 2E brings in stations clearer and can knock out interference from other sources, which means it has steep skirts. You're going to have to look that one up, probably. Sound from the 2E is absolutely impeccable. I'd like you to try the CC Radio 2E. It's got the power, the strength to bring in signals better, and that's what you want in a radio. Trust me, my good friends at Sea Crane can do it. Call them at 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863.
End time is not what you thought. In their new book, 122436, authors Mike and Cheryl Gilmore bring forth a startling new idea on the beginning of humankind, how life begins on Earth, and when our Creator concludes this age. In the book, 122436, three small groups of individuals, separated by thousands of miles, discover together the answers to the beginning of our universe and all the life it contains. Mike Gilmore is the author of five Levels of Power novels and the Sled Investigation series. Cheryl Gilmore is current state director in South Carolina for MUFON and brings a lifetime of experience with UFOs and related fields. As a team, their new book about life in the near future on Earth sets aside most people's religious and scientific beliefs. Available exclusively on Amazon in softback for $8.99 or the ebook price for only $2.99. Remember, Amazon softback $8.99, ebook only $2.99. 122436. Get your copy today.
He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on the hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best it's ever been. Johnny, you're awesome, up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals in cards."
Take a walk on the wild side of midnight, from the kingdom of nine. This is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-RECALL ART.
All right, here comes Blanche Barton. She is a damn high priestess I would assume, Blanche, welcome to the program, by the way.
Ah, Mr. Art Bell, we meet at last. In the stormy desert at midnight, best time. It's the dark of the moon, too. And the Perseid shower, I tell you, it's just kismet.
I'm old, Blanche. I don't have much to lose. Anyway, welcome to the program. It's great to have you, and I assume that, you know, you probably keep the title, you know, much as congressmen and senators keep the title even after they've left office. You're still probably high priestess, right?
Well, people are very respectful to me, but my title officially is the Magistra Templi Rex, which is below the current high priestess, who is Peggy Nadramian, doing a bang-up job of it.
Would you mind repeating that slowly?
Peter Gilmore, who's the high priest.
Would you mind repeating that slowly, please, your title?
Magistra Templi Rex.
That
just means that I'm the head of the Council of Nine, and that I'm a grand poobah in the Church of Satan, right below the other ultimate grand poobahs.
Okay. Can we immediately do this and find out what is the difference, if any, between Satan and the devil? Any difference?
I would use them both interchangeably. I think it would be important for us to start our conversation with you understanding that we use Satan, the devil, Lucifer, as a metaphor. We don't worship a guy with horns and a pitchfork. We don't believe that such a being exists. We don't believe that God or the devil or hell or heaven exist. It's all within us. We own our own destinies. We are our own gods. We're self-deifying. And we're responsible for our own happiness and our own success and our own failures. And to make it short and sweet, life is short.
Yeah.
And there's no reliable evidence that there's anything beyond this life.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd better make this life count and enjoy it while you can. So.
Okay, Blanche. Well, then here comes a big question.
All right.
If all of that is so, then why would you even bother to have a church with his name?
That is a very good question.
Why?
And Anton LaVey was asked that very question when he started the Church of Satan. And people said, you know, if you would just call it something else, you know, if you called it humanism, he talks about this in the Satanic Bible, which he published in 1969. You know, if you called it humanism or even Typhonism or something, maybe you'd get more followers. But his point was that he didn't want more followers. The point of calling it Satanism is there's always a Satan in every culture. There's always the accuser. There's always the other. There's always the one outside. And he's the scapegoat. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous to have scapegoats. Christianity has scapegoats. Muslim beliefs have scapegoats. And to demonize others, when you say, I'm a good guy, and those people over there are bad guys, we can kill them, we can shoot them, we can torture them, because they're the bad guys. And you know that Satan is evil, right? Because you've been told that all your life.
Right? Yes, yes.
But what else? This is a word that you've been programmed to be afraid of. So what else have you been programmed to be afraid of? Liberal?
Quite a bit.
Conservative? Abortion? You know, how are you being manipulated by politicians and people who want to take your money? You know, so that's the point of calling it Satanism, is don't believe the stuff that's being fed you.
Donald Trump scares me a little.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's why we're here. That's why you need Satanists right now, because the political season is kicking off, and look at what you have to choose from. We're not just about anti-Christianity or anti-theism. You know, that's a very big part of what we are, but anything that's a sacred cow has to be examined and challenged. Whenever you see broad generalizations or scapegoating or ad hominem attacks instead of actual arguments on important issues,
right.
You know, you were talking about, we've got serious environmental problems right now. We've got serious economic problems. And what are we doing? We're killing each other over phantoms, over lies. And that's not how we bring things together to save our planet right now. And that's what we're all about.
All right. Let's get into this. Over lies. That's a very broad brushstroke right across all of religion, from God to the devil. To Satan,
true.
Right?
True. Yeah, well, the point is that we do enter the ritual chamber. We have lesser magic, greater magic, that we indulge in
as
a part of poetic nature in humans, but we do it consciously. We go into what we call the intellectual decompression chamber. We put on our robes and we call forth the icons that we find bring us power within ourselves, but we know that we're calling forth the power within ourselves, but we're using the poetic metaphors to reach places, that part of the human brain that we don't quite understand, that a lot of your other people that are on your show try to understand more, consciousness and the powers of the human brain and human potential. We do it based first and foremost on reasonableness and rationality. Then we add in the more metaphysical explorations. Or if we don't want to, it's not necessary to do that as a Satanist. But if you want to play with the poetics of it, then that's okay too. But we don't build our foundation on sand. And that's what most religions do. They build them on sand, and they lead to blindness and prejudice, and they impose ignorance on their children and a distrust of science. And that's not the best of what human beings can be.
Well, what you preach is all good stuff. The pulpit from which, the position from which you preach perhaps calls into question, you know, many people, the whole thing is called into question, frankly. Is Satan and the word, you're right, the devil, Satan, whatever, it scares the hell out of people. And I guess that's exactly what it's intended to do.
And that sort of surprises me because we've been around for 50 years. You know, we've been saying the same stuff for the last 50 years.
And yet,
it shows that every culture and everybody still needs the devil. They still need the other guys. They still need the bad guys, the evil ones, the outsiders. And that's okay. You know, as far as we're concerned, we're in pretty good company. Most of the people that, are the best thinkers, the most brilliant, innovative thinkers are generally labeled as heretics. So, you know, why not take pride in that?
You're obviously a clear thinker. Tell me about Anton.
He was a brilliant man. He was far ahead of his time. He started out interested in magic, but he also had a wonderful skill with music. So he played the oboe, and keyboards were his real love. And he became a hypnotist. He worked in the carnival. He worked in the circus. He was a police photographer.
Wow.
And out of all of those roles, he saw human tragedy and human foibles up close and personal. He saw people sneaking in to look at the burlesque girls, you know, in the carnival, and then sneaking across on Sunday to go with their families to see the tent show revivalists and, you know, cleanse their souls of all their wicked thoughts.
That's,
you know?
Right. All right. So, let me go back. You said he began magic. Is magic real?
Well, I believe that magic can only be, I can only answer that for myself. You have to answer that for yourself.
Well, you said Anton began with magic.
Well, he began with an interest in magic and the supernatural. And he did. He checked out as many people as he thought might have a gateway into other worlds, other ways of being. Madame Blavatsky or Aleister Crowley, and they were all so dry and boring and sad and obfuscating. He just wanted the real deal, and I think people are attracted to his philosophy. One of the reasons that they're attracted to his philosophy is because he doesn't dance around. He says what he means what he says. He says, this is how I do what I do. Go in the ritual chamber, try it. If it works for you, great. Try these methods that I wrote in The Satanic Witch about basic psychology, reading people, cold readings that he learned in the carnival, the whole process of looking at nonverbal cues, and make it work for you.
Yes, but those are all tricks. And what I'm asking is, did he find the real thing, or did he practice when he found the real thing?
Well, certainly he did. Certainly.
Well, okay, so magic is real.
Yes. I have experienced magical consequences of what I've done in the ritual chamber. As I say, though, that doesn't mean that if you go into the ritual chamber and you do exactly what I did,
right,
it may not work for you, because to be honest, now this is just me speculating. This isn't Church of Satan policy. But it's almost as if everybody has a different frequency, you know?
Right.
And Anton talked about this when he was playing music for animals in the circus. He said, you don't play the same song for an elephant as you do for a tiger, mm-hmm. because they have different rhythms, they have different moods. And I think certain people are just attracted to the satanic mythos. We're attracted to the anti-hero, you know, like Lord Byron, you know, with the Miltonian anti-hero, the light bearer, Lucifer, you know, or Prometheus, for example, who risks the wrath of the gods in order to bring the fire of wisdom and intellect and creativity to human beings, you know, and he was punished for it. Or the ultimate, of course, in the Garden of Eden, the serpent, you know, tempting with the apple of knowledge from the tree of knowledge. All these metaphors are the same. And these are things that inspire me. Religion presents you with metaphors and myths, stories that codify and strengthen you. They're almost like a group art project to me, you know, because they communicate what is important to a given society, what you hold dear, what rituals you find important, and what those ideals are. So my ideal is not some guy hanging on a cross. I'm sorry, when my back is up against the wall, I want, you know, a dynamic, life-affirming, poetic image of Satan, who is the ultimate anti-hero.
And actually, Anton, when you look at him, certainly carried some of those physical characteristics, didn't he?
Oh, he certainly did. Yes, he certainly did, and he emphasized them. True to lesser magical ability, he saw what worked best for him, and he saw the look that he could present, and that fit, and he used it.
Okay, but pinned to the wall, you admit magic is or can be real. If magic is real, then the supernatural is real, right?
Yes.
That's a pretty grudging yes.
Well, you're leading me down to a certain conclusion, and I want to tell you that what we consider, what we do in the ritual chamber is like a laboratory. I don't think enough has been understood yet about, and again, this gets back to the other guests that you've had. I mean, even like Dean Radin, The Conscious Universe, or...
you are a listener, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Or what is it? The field, McTaggart.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot that we do not understand about the interactions of time, space, matter. We're sort of nibbling around the edges, and we now understand that true to long, long history of witchcraft, that blood, semen, all the body fluids and hair that are used traditionally in magic, that now, lo and behold, contains people's DNA. So it is a direct link to an individual. When the witches started doing that, including blood and hair and stuff in their spells, so many millennia ago.
I'd never argue with this. No, you're dead right. We are little snowflakes, and our DNA is definitely us. And so you're right. Hair, blood, semen, bodily fluids, it's all the individual us. So if that is used in the right way, by the right person, there is magic.
With the right intent, there. You know, again, Anton LaVey lays it out very clearly in the Satanic Bible. There are certain elements that need to be addressed, including, you know, imagery, and there's also the balance factor. He includes that very, very important element because, you know, he says that you need to be aware of who you are and what potency you have. If you're a 25-watt person, you shouldn't, and you're sexually attracted to a 100-watt woman or man, maybe you should set your sights a little lower than trying to attract that particular person,
yes.
You know, to start out.
Uh-huh. Interesting. But again, I'm going to keep going down this road as far as I can take you. And I will ask, is it possible to use a person's essence, bodily fluids, whatever, essence, in a positive way for them, as well as a negative way for them?
Absolutely. We have three basic rituals. We have lust, compassion, and destruction. So the point of going into the ritual chamber in the first place is not primarily to move the universe in the way you want it to. I mean, that's of course good as a side effect, but it's a psychodrama. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
Okay, so someone at work is really working against you. Someone is telling the boss lies about you. They're making you look bad. They're hiding your materials. They're really going out of their way to hurt you.
Yes.
So you go into the, you're really frustrated. You're thinking about this person all the time. You can't eat. You can't sleep. You're really angry, and you feel impotent. So you go into the ritual chamber. You do a destruction ritual. You concentrate on this person, and you wish them all the bad, bad things to happen to them, and you let it go. You let all of it go. You build up all of that energy, and like a good orgasm, you just flow out, and it goes out into the universe. And then you let go of the rope. It's done. As far as you're concerned, it is done. It's a done deal.
As far as you're concerned.
You've spoken to the universe. It's going to happen. Whatever's supposed to happen will happen. So next week, you go into work, and this schmo has been promoted and moved to Hawaii. So did your curse work? Well, you don't have to deal with him anymore, do you? So, and maybe he'll get caught in a wonderful storm in Hawaii, and maybe his life will be
so. Maybe you go in this
terrible.
Week, and he was hit by a Mack truck, now has about 35 broken bones, and is in traction in the hospital.
There you go. You know, that's the way it goes.
Yes. Well, I love the fact that you can bring up the rosiest metaphor possible when discussing somebody you don't like.
Well, you could have asked me about a lust ritual. You want to talk about that?
We'll get to that, sure. You are, I don't know if you want to know, you're an attorney, right?
No.
You're not an
no.
attorney? Well, you
no.
you certainly sound like one.
Well, I argue a lot. Thank you. That's
I bet you do. I bet you do. This must be asked. There are many who believe that Anton LaVey actually did conjure up the devil. What do you know about that?
Well, I would say yes, absolutely.
You would?
You know, if you're talking about the metaphorical devil, I mean, he unleashed, 50 years ago, he unleashed this power of all the people that now call themselves Satanists. And we are doing fabulous things, wonderful things in publishing. We have a lot of people in military. We have people making art, tattoos, lawyers, teachers, all sorts of people doing amazing, wonderful things. And that was, you know, there'd never really been an actual calling forth of the devil and giving him his due the way that Anton LaVey did. There'd been, you know, before there'd been sort of prankish ceremonies, the Hellfire Clubs and references to the devil and heretics and stuff, but there hadn't been people stepping forward and pridefully, purposefully taking the name of Satan and saying, this is how we define Satan, this is what he represents for us, and move over because we're living life and we're having a great time.
All right, hold it right there. We're at a break point. Relax, you've got several minutes. This is Midnight in the Desert. I'm Art Bell. Author and editor-founder of UnknownCountry.com, Anne Streber has passed away after a long battle with cancer. The wife of Whitley Strieber, Anne was a novelist, as well as a great supporter of Whitley's work, editing his many books. Our sincerest condolences go out to the Strieber family from Dark Matter News. Did a UFO dock with the International Space Station in January of last year? On January 29, 2014, a live camera feed of the International Space Station showed what appeared to be a strange yellow elliptical object docked with the hull of the ISS. The live camera feed was quickly recorded and uploaded to YouTube and is generating much interest as possible evidence of a UFO interacting with the International Space Station. This has led to claims that the UFO was docked so that the extraterrestrials could meet with NASA astronauts.
The idea that the alien ships could dock with the ISS and have meetings with its occupants is supported by the claims of a former NASA employee who, during his 34 years of service, worked on numerous NASA missions and finally as a spacecraft operator. He claims to have witnessed a similar alien rendezvous during a U.S. space shuttle mission just before his security clearance was revoked by NASA in 1992. Clark McLeland's testimony supports claims that NASA's space missions have directly interacted with extraterrestrial vehicles and resulted in meetings between astronauts and aliens. The video recording of what appears to be a UFO docked at the International Space Station on January 29, 2014, may be yet another instance when aliens have met with NASA astronauts during a space mission. You're listening to Dark Matter News.
I'm Gene Neal Shulman, a longtime listener of Art Bell. I've also written a dozen books, a Twilight Zone episode, and made two movies. My first novel, Alongside Night, came out in 1979 with a book endorsement from Nobel Prize-winning economist Milton Friedman, who praised it for its disturbing resemblance to past history and future possibilities. Many others, including Glenn Beck, Ron Paul, and Alex Jones, have celebrated my novel for its futuristic vision of America collapsing from too much government. Now I've put my novel on the screen as a futuristic action movie. It stars Kevin Sorbo, TV's Hercules, and star of God's Not Dead. To see a vision where freedom's not dead, buy the 3-disc Blu-ray DVD combo pack of my movie Alongside Night. It's $16.95, including shipping and handling. You can buy it online right now at Area51Movies.com or after 9:30 a.m. Eastern, phone 800-527-2375. Again, buy online now at Area51Movies.com or after 9:30 a.m. Eastern at 800-527-2375. Thank you.
Would you like to live longer? Maybe even decide when you die? 13 years after scientists pinpointed the Methuselah gene, Google Ventures president Bill Maris believes it is now possible to live until the old age of 500. In a Bloomberg profile, Mr. Maris stated, "If you ask me today, is it possible to live to be 500? The answer is yes." He continues by saying 20 years ago, without genomics, you could only treat cancer with a poison. That's really different from, we can cure cancer by reverse engineering a stem cell. You can now legitimately invest in a company that could cure cancer. Google has invested heavily in life sciences, and over the last 2 years has increased funding by 30%. The firm is a collaboration of 70 people with 17 investment partners. Chief Medical Officer at DNA Nexus says we are just on the verge of what science and technology can do. His company, also backed by Google Ventures, is building a global bank of genomic information using cloud computing. Listening to the scientists gathered around the table, it's hard not to get caught up in the world they see coming. In this vision of future, science will be able to fix the damage that the sun or smoking or too much wine inflicts on our DNA. Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and other scourges of aging will be repaired at the molecular level and eradicated. In the minds of this next generation of entrepreneurs, the possibilities are bizarre and hopeful and endless. We probably won't live forever, but we could live much, much longer and better. These are the bets Google Ventures is hoping will ultimately be its biggest wins. Maris says we aren't trying to gain a few yards, we are trying to win the game. And part of that is that it is better to live than die. The Methuselah gene was named after Methuselah, son of Enoch. He was the oldest man to live in recorded history. Some accounts say he lived until 960, while others say he was 969 years of age. He died the year of a massive global flood. I'm Leo Ashcraft for Dark Matter News.
Turn down your radios, guys. This message is just for all the out-of-this-world babes tuning in. Are you an Area 51 employee looking for a new work wardrobe? Need an unforgettable dress to wear as you haunt an abandoned hotel for the next century? Do you struggle to find the perfect outfit for hunting down the elusive Chupacabra? In any case, remote view yourself into your new favorite dress at HelloHoliday.com.
Midnight in the Desert listeners get 10% off your first order with code HEARTSPARTS. Shop HelloHoliday.com.
Did you know that you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with a Sport Berkey filtration bottle? It's ideal for sporting games, camping, and boating. The Sport Berkey bottle is small enough to store in a glove box, so it's the ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts floods or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective, it filters raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Brookie's proprietary filter formulation removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces pharmaceutical drugs and heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough that you can take one with you wherever you go and store another in your emergency kit or car for unexpected emergencies. Get two Sport Brookie water filtration bottles for only $37 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order today and get half off. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, and ask about the Art Bell special.
Eagle has a new name, The Circle. 1959 Russian Mountains, 9 Deads. It's the greatest unsolved mystery, and now through your contribution on Kickstarter.com, the truth will be revealed in The Circle, a paranormal thriller from an award-winning director based on true events. Go to Kickstarter.com and search The Circle and donate today. Your contribution will expose the truth about 9 brutal student deaths at the Fiat La Faz. Again, go to Kickstarter.com, search The Circle. Make history, jump into The Circle.
a lot of the techniques we use lesser magic, which is manipulative magic to get what we want on a day-to-day basis. And then we use greater magic, which is in the ritual chamber. But I think the where a lot of people part company that are interested in magic part company with Wicca or witchcraft as it is now portrayed. Now they're moving a little bit away from this, but they get all squeamish about the word Satan. You know, they want to use the tools, but they don't want to align themselves with, you know, with the bad guy. And if you're going to use the tools, then, you know, our thought is you should give the credit where the credit's due.
She was not a Wiccan. She described herself as a spiritual warrior.
Okay. Well, that's good. When a lot of people that talk that kind of talk and they're not Satanists, I don't understand why they're not a Satanist. You know, it seems like a logical step to me. I know a lot of in the 60s there was a group, you know, calling themselves WITCH, and they were essentially militant feminists that were using the metaphors of being witches and being evil and being ugly and empowering themselves, you know, like the word queer, kind of giving themselves that life and that strength by calling themselves witches. And, you know, as a Satanist, I think it's a little bit short of the mark. You know, if you're going that far and you don't align yourself with, because we call ourselves Satanists for a lot of different reasons, as I've already explained, because most of the great thinkers, including and up to Copernicus, Galileo, and more recent, you know, people have always been called heretics and blasphemers. And so why don't you pridefully say, yes, I align myself with all that you consider evil, and I go to those dark places. I mean, I consider you a fellow traveler. You know, you go to those dark places too, and you force people to expand their paradigms. You know, you bring in speculation and provocation, and you make people, you say, okay, here it is. You think about this. I'm forcing you to confront this, and you think about it. You can either reject it and say it doesn't exist, or you can try to expand your consciousness to include this. That's what a good scientist does.
I think that it does exist. I think magic actually does exist. I think that many things that we discuss in the paranormal world do exist. And what I don't understand is, if you feel the same way, and I know you do, how can that not lead you to a curiosity about a maker, a creator, and Satan, all of those things being possible?
Well, that does not necessarily follow for me, because the way
I mean, you're going down that road. How can you not continue down that road to the ultimate possible conclusion?
Well, I don't need a maker. I have evolution. You know, I have reason. I have rationality. I don't need a God that created me. If he did, he's an absentee landlord. And I've talked to people about this before too. I can't force myself to believe in a God that I don't believe exists. I can't force myself to believe that some guy 2,000 years ago in the Middle East dying, if he did live, if he was an individual and he wasn't just a compilation of a bunch of supposed fulfillment of Jewish prophecy, I can't believe that he has any bearing on my life as I live and breathe today. I'm the one who controls what I'm doing now. And if I had to believe, if I really tried to believe in a God that was omnipotent and omniscient and I could pray to, and he would pay attention to me, each little sparrow and each little butterfly and each little, you know, grain of sand in the cosmos he cares about, okay, so there's such a being. How does he let happen what he lets happen? How can the fighting continue? How can all of these bad things? And of course, they say Satan. Okay.
But they, or me, just might say free will.
But let me continue just
sure,
a minute
sure.
more.
Go ahead.
It would create such frustration and anger in me to believe in that kind of God. If I tried to, and I really tried to pray, and I really tried to understand, I would be homicidal, because I could not reconcile why this being who supposedly loves me would threaten me and manipulate me in such a petulant, petty way that I have to bow down and worship him and do what he tells me to do, or he'll throw me into a fiery pit for all eternity. I mean, what kind of love is that? And then, I
kind of agree with a lot of that. I really do. But what about the whole concept of an original creator and then free will? In other words, we're down here and left to do what we're going to do, and our ultimate, up or downville depends on how we do.
Okay, so my free will tells me that I'm a representative of Satan, because if that God created me with a brain, he wants me to have a scientific mind, a rational mind. He wants me to challenge. He wants me to be against self-deceit. And he doesn't want me to bow down and worship him. So I'm doing my job.
Well,
I'm not killing anybody. I'm not stealing from anybody. I have a very sound base of ethics that I move from. I don't need a God who's going to threaten me or strong-arm me so that I'll do the right thing. I do it because I live in a society where it's expected of me, and I want the same respect from my other fellow creatures, and so that's the contract. That's the social contract,
right,
like Rousseau talked about.
What?
I don't hurt you, you don't hurt me.
Right.
I don't need a God to tell me to do that.
Okay, what has Satan done for you that God has not?
He's freed my mind. He's freed my will. He's inspired me. He's strengthened me. He is a guide for me in my life. The whole anti-heroic Miltonian attitude of even when your back is up against the wall, when you don't have anything else in you, even when you've been demonized and put upon and attacked mercilessly by the majority, you still are prideful and defiant and creative and driven, and that's where Satan leads me.
All right, earlier I asked you if he conjured up the devil, and you responded that yes, he did.
In my mind, he has let loose the gates of hell. There's a whole generation, two generations now, of people applying Satanism every day of their lives. And one of the reasons why I'm on your show is, three reasons. One, because you've got a wonderful show, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be on your show. But also, people are Satanists all around the world now. It's a very popular philosophy, but a lot of times you don't even know when there's a Satanist working next to you, or teaching your children, or babysitting your parents, or you don't know that they're Satanists because they don't. It's not necessary for you to disclose that you're a Satanist in our version of the world. If it does you no good to expose yourself, then don't do it. People are confused; they don't understand it. But I want people to know that if you find out that your coworker is a Satanist, that there's nothing for you to fear or get freaked out about. These are our ethics, these are our attitudes, these are our habits. We stick to our own most of the time. We keep our nose out of your business. As long as you don't try preaching to me, I'm not going to preach to you. You're not going to find Satanists on the street corners handing out pamphlets or knocking on your door and waking you up at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or Sunday.
Good.
We figure we want the information to be out there. That's what the Church of Satan is here for, is to continue to codify and clarify what Anton LaVey said, keep his ideas pure, blending the poetic and the rational parts of human beings. And if you're interested in it, you will seek us out. You'll find out if it's the right thing. If it's not for you, that's fine. But if you know of a Satanist, I don't want you to overreact and say, I want you to understand and be able to have an intelligent conversation with them.
Just to be clear, your relationship with Anton LaVey was?
It started out, I was working in his in the office in San Francisco along with other people. And as I began to know him, I began taking notes on. He was an amazing raconteur. He'd tell jokes. He'd tell these stories about his life and about the people that he'd known, and his lion and his leopard and people that he'd known on the police force would come by and he'd talk with them. And I had extraordinary access and I had a pencil and a tablet, and I started writing down some of these stories and some of the stuff that he was talking about, because I knew that he was an important historical man. He will be remembered, you know, many, many years from now, and what he was saying needed to be written down. So I wrote the biography, and we became more intimate. Our relationship changed, and that's why the new Secret Life of a Satanist is, the last few chapters are materially different than the first few chapters. The last chapters are much more, I hope I don't become too maudlin, or I hope I don't break down the image of who he was, but it's much more intimate portrait of him as a man and what he struggled through in the last years of his life and how productive he was at the same time. And so I want people to know the strength that he had, because he was undergoing physical challenges as well as the satanic panic and legal challenges, and he survived. He was strong and right up until the end.
Were they coming after him legally because of what he said he was?
No, because of personal reasons. But of course, you remember the satanic panic of the mid 80s to the 90s. A lot of early 90s, a lot of people may not remember, but it was an insane period of time. I mean, we had Geraldo and Sally Jesse Raphael and Oprah Winfrey with these people who were claiming to have been molested as children in satanic sacrifices and baby breeders, and they tore up a whole, well, you know what happened in Manhattan Beach.
Oh, yes.
With the preschool.
Yes.
And the FBI finally did a thorough search of everything and said there is no international satanic conspiracy. But this was only after at least two documents were introduced into state legislation to ban the practice of Satanism as a religion. They, you know, not Judaism, not Church of Christ, Satanism, which is a recognized religion in this country, recognized by in the Chaplain's Guide to the Military Services, and they wanted to ban it as a practice, and that's scary.
Well, it never, of course, would have held up. Never.
No, of course not. And, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff introduced into state legislature, but the fact that they felt that they could have the impetus to, you know, the backing to introduce it was pretty scary. You know, it didn't go anywhere, but still.
I guess, it was scary, to be sure. I mean, it's like the communist purge way back, right?
Well, and people were, I mean, their lives were broken. They got fired from their jobs. They were going through divorces, and people lost their children. They had child protective custody coming in and taking their children away, just on accusations. And finally, I think the court system and the insurance companies got tired of paying these bills for these recovered memories and these supposed counselors that were behind so much of it. But it was a time of suspicion. And the two elements that Dr. LaVey hated so much was that they would go on these shows, and instead of talking about real Satanism, they talk about some animal sacrifices or child sacrifices. And so the teenagers who were watching these shows and listening to this hysteria would say, ooh, I want to be like, you know, a real Satanist. And so they would go off and maybe sacrifice a dog or something, and that would end up in the local papers. And Dr. LaVey loved animals. He had many, many wonderful animals that he had a great relationship with. And one of the tenets that he makes very clear in our satanic statements and in the satanic Bible is you would not hurt an animal or a child because they're the most natural magicians. And instead of, you know, waving the satanic Bible around in disgust and saying, ooh, isn't this awful, they wouldn't read the book and they wouldn't tell people that's what Satanism really represented. And he said, you know, all of these animals, if there are animals being hurt or killed in this fashion because of, you know, they think that that's what real Satanists do, these animals should be placed on Oprah Winfrey's and Geraldo Rivera's doorsteps because they're the ones that are doing it, not us. They're the ones that are leading these people to do this. And he felt very sad about that aspect of it.
I once had a young lady on my show whose name was Patsy.
Mm.
She had devoted her life to the devil, to Satan. And she said that she would ensure that her, I think it was daughter, a son, rather, would be taken by the devil, as well as herself. Now, she wasn't just a caller. When she began as a caller, and I went on to interview her in depth, but this, I'm telling you right now, this gal named Patsy meant what she said. Now, I understand that that is not what you've told us about tonight, but how many Patsies are out there?
Well, there are people that use any number of contexts for their disturbances. They create fantasies for what, I mean, I'm not a psychoanalyst and I haven't talked to her. I don't know about her specifically, but, you know, I'm not qualified to pass judgment on her particular diagnosis, but I know people do a lot who want attention and who, you know, they may feel even that they have a real pain or they have real memories or something, but usually it can be traced to something very specific, and it's a context that they need to put their pain in, and they need you know, a counselor that can actually help them not feed their fantasies, but actually help them move away from their fantasies into a productive life.
With what you've said, and I've listened to what you've said very carefully, hold tight, we're at this, another break point. It's very difficult for me to distinguish between a fact and fantasy here. Magic is real, but the devil or Satan isn't. I'm Art Bell.
By Whitley Strieber on unknowncountry.com and TuneIn Radio. A listener says, interviews like the most incredible stories you've ever been told. Riveting. Join Dreamland and the unknowncountry.com community. Listen free on unknowncountry.com and TuneIn Radio. Podcasts run for a week starting Fridays.
Have you heard about the new superfood Arctic Chaga? Arctic Chaga has been used for its health-building powers by Arctic natives for centuries. Natural Arctic Chaga tea is a powerful antioxidant with 25 times more antioxidants than blueberries. Chaga is extensively documented for numerous health benefits, such as anti-aging, anti-inflammation, greater energy, and is shown to improve arthritis, cardiovascular health, indigestion, anxiety, and stress. Chaga has been recognized by the Medical Science of Moscow and the Japanese Cancer Society as an anti-cancer agent, and has been shown to diminish the side effects of chemotherapy. In order to learn more about Arctic Chaga, the king of chaga products, go online to arcticchaga.com. Arctic Chaga is sold as an herbal supplement and makes no medical claims. Available in tea bags, raw ground, and liquid extract. Call 1-866-491-8595. That's 1-866-491-8595. For your greatest health and energy, order online at arcticchaga.com. That's arcticchaga.com. Order now!
The team at HelloHoliday.com have been Art Bell fans for the past 19 years, and we come from an alternate dimension for people with a paranormal love of fashion. All waiting for you at HelloHoliday.com. Incredible value, unexpected design, proudly carrying sizes extra small through 4X in all the coolest indie styles. East of the Rockies? No need to stay up late. Shop online 24/7 at HelloHoliday.com.
Midnight in the Desert listeners get 10% off your first order with code HEARTSPARTS. Shop HelloHoliday.com.
Watching every motion in my footsteps again. All this dead and cold,
Desert via Skype worldwide. If on a computer, please be sure to use a headphone mic and call MITD.